Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. My first year at a seminary, Kelly and I were serving at different churches, and Easter Sunday happened to also be the day of daylight savings, which was never fun as a priest when it falls on Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. And that particular day, Kelly had to go off, and they had an early service at 8 o'clock. I was serving at St. Margaret's. They were still meeting in a school in Lawrence, and we had a service at 9 and 11. And so she got up and took off, and I rolled back over and went to sleep and forgot about the time change and hadn't changed the clock. So when I looked over, I thought it was about 7:45, and I had plenty of time. Well, it was 8:45. So I got in my car, and at that time, we didn't have sacristies because we were using a school, so I had my robes at home, so I was speedy. I put my robes on, got in the car, drove as quickly as I could across Lawrence, breaking lots of traffic laws. Kids don't listen. I pulled into the school parking lot. I came running up, and David Wythe, who was the other priest, took the chasuble off, threw it on me, and we walked into the service. I was almost late, and I think I would have never lived that down. So towards the end of the service, when the people who are sitting at home and think it's 10 o'clock right now, and they show up at their 10:45, be gentle, and you know, love them. What if every day we woke up and we said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer"? And what if we went about fashioning our life in a way in which we really live that? I think sometimes that's really the Christian call, is to let our heart and mind be something that hears God's word, that lives God's word, that's able to do that. In that statement, it says a couple of things. It says that we're humble. It says that we're not the center of the world. It says that we are meant to be sort of working on ourselves, that we're imperfect. It's a good way to start today, realizing that you're not perfect. And it sort of implies growth and change and redemption and continuing work. A while back, as we're sort of getting ready for the capital campaign, we were thinking about a way that we could talk about what our community means to us. And Stephen's going to get this ready. We're not interested in this nice rainbow. But we're going to look at a video that some folks made. Now, one thing I want to say is the people that are in the video are putting themselves out there, really have taken a risk to share some things with you in the community. And some of you may have already seen this video kind of floating around on Facebook and things like that. But they were asked a simple question. They said, "How has being part of St. Thomas changed you? What does it mean to be redeemed? What does it mean to be a part of a community? And what does it mean to have had faith?" And so let's take a look at this video and listen to the words. So you may have seen that video before, and it's certainly very powerful to see people take a risk like that. Like I said, we didn't really know what they were going to say. We just simply asked them the question, "How has St. Thomas made a difference in your life?" When I first saw the video, it really hit me. Often I can't share with you my perspective. Really, none of us, we try to share each other's perspective. But as a priest, I stand in front of you and I can look out and I can see each of you holding a sign that says something about something that's going on in your life. And I think it's a perspective that's often hard to see. But at the same time, we kind of wonder, what does it mean to be part of a faith community? What does it mean to walk along together, to struggle a little bit, to ask questions, to celebrate, to be part of joy with each other, while at the same time we're part of sadness and difficulty and struggle? And it really gets to the heart of the matter. Can we place God on our lips? Can we live in that intentional way? We have this wonderful story from Moses in our first lesson today. And sometimes I think when we think about the law, right, we sometimes think it's all the things we're not supposed to do, right? Because most of us grew up in a school. We went to a school, and what do they tell us in school? Well, don't chew gum. Don't put it under your table. You know, we kind of live our life filled with rules, right? But maybe we don't always understand that what Moses receives when the Ten Commandments come into being is a way of the heart. It's a way of the heart, and while it's law at the same time, it's meant to be a something that is given as a gift to the people so that they might live a long time. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't envy. Take a day off every once in a while. It's not really a day off, but you're supposed to not do any work and focus on God. Have only one God, not a whole lot of gods. It's a beautiful set of things that if we can live out in our life, Lord, let me meditate on you. Let me place you on my heart. Let me be steadfast. Let me seek your redemption. Then the world has changed. And if we read the rest of the scriptures following Moses, we hear time and time again as the people fail and they don't succeed. Later in the story, a temple is erected and the law becomes something that is very complicated and involves all kinds of things in addition to the Ten Commandments. And then we enter the story that we have for today in the gospel in which Jesus comes into the temple and says something shocking. I'm going to tear this temple down, and 3 days it will be destroyed, and I will build a new temple up. And the priests and the Sadducees and the people who are around say, "You are crazy. We have been building this thing for 46 years. Now, if you've ever had a chance to go to Jerusalem, there is, you know, the picture of the big golden dome. That's a mosque. Down over on the side and underneath, there is a wall that was the retaining wall from your original temple and some of the stones from the temple that we hear about in Scripture today. Now, most of you, if you have a limestone building, right, your limestone's about like this. You ever tried to pick that up? It's pretty heavy, right? It weighs a lot. Well, the stones there sort of are about this deep and go all the way over there to Emily and are about this tall. And that's one stone. These are not small little building blocks, but they were stones, heavy limestone meant to last forever. And so these great stones are there, and when Jesus says this, the people are in shock and they can't believe it, and they say it's impractical. And of course, we know that Jesus doesn't literally destroy the temple, but instead, he is talking of building a new temple. He's talking of taking the law from that place or in that particular spot and placing it into our hearts and into our community. And he says, you no longer need to worship only on the mountain or only in this particular place, but you can worship in the communities that you are in. And you remember that scripture, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of you. And it transforms the world. And the rest of the story is to know God's redemption, to know God's saving grace, and for us to be empowered to do the ministry that we are called to do in the places that we go. One of the things that I was struck by the way the folks had sort of come up with their statements, what they said, sort of said the problem, and then they said how they were empowered by the gospel to make changes. Well, think about that. Think about what that means for us as a community and what it means for us as the people gathered as St. Thomas in this particular church, in this particular city, in this state, in this country, in this particular place. What is it that we are called to do as a church, as a people? We're not the only church in town. I mean, there's plenty of churches around here. Some much larger than us and some smaller than us. We're not the final word on anything, but yet our community is called to something significant. Can we meditate on God's words and place them on our lips and in our heart that we might know his redemption? I think we can see in that video and in other ways that we've learned that yes, we can, but I think it takes intention. So I might ask you to take that sentence, that last sentence from the psalm today, and try praying that this week as one of your prayer disciplines. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The people in the video, if we were to gather them and to ask them how things happened and what went on, they would be able to tell you the story of someone who offered a helping hand, a pat on the shoulder, some support, some love, who taught them and encouraged them and inspired them, all as the body of Christ. It's a temple made of people. It's a temple that's beautiful and transforms the world. But it's our call to be the limestone. And I think if we take that scripture and we begin to really pray it and to really think it, then our life is changed. And through us, the world is transformed as well. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.